بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل، إن الله نعما يعظكم به، إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا. وقال سبحانه وتعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. Respected listeners, in the verse which I just recited from Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, Allah instructs you to return items of trust to their rightful owners. And Allah also instructs you that when you judge between people, that you judge justly. Beautiful are these things that Allah instructs you to do. Extremely beautiful are these things that Allah orders you to do. Indeed, Allah is all hearing, all seeing. Apart from mentioning amana, returning items of trust to their rightful owners, the second beautiful thing which Allah mentions to the believers is to judge with justice, to judge justly. Justice is a very justice in Islam is a very core concept of religion. In fact, Allah's whole universe and Allah's religion both are based on the laws of justice. Tawheed is justice, that the creation treat their creator in a just way. They see their creator in a just way and they worship him in a just way. And the justice of the creation in respect of their creator is that they worship no one but him. They recognize him to be not only their creator, but they recognize Allah to be the only deity, to be the only one worthy of being worshipped, worthy of being turned to and relied on. So even Tawheed is just. Tawheed is justice in itself. And anyone who does not fulfill the rights of Tawheed, anyone who does not act upon all the laws of Tawheed, is committing an injustice, and a great injustice at that. And thus, in some verses of the Quran, Allah has described idolatry, polytheism, Allah has described shirk as being dhulm, injustice. In one verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِالظُّلْمِ. Those who believe and who do not pollute their faith with dhulm, with injustice. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. These are the ones for whom there shall be security, and these are the ones who are rightly guided. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu relates in the hadith recorded by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim and others, that when this verse was first revealed, the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum became extremely fearful, and they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they recited this verse and said, O Prophet of Allah, Allah says, those who believe and who do not pollute their belief with any injustice, And who of us is not unjust? Who amongst us is innocent of injustice to ourselves? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Dhulm," the injustice being mentioned in this verse, "is not what you think. Rather, read the verse of Surah Luqman, in which Allah quotes the words of the wise sage Luqman when he was advising his son. And he said, 'Ya bunayya la tushrik billah, inna shirka la dhulmun azeem.' That, 'O my son, do not commit shirk, do not ascribe partners unto Allah, for shirk is a great dhulm, it's a great injustice." So tawheed is justice. The whole of religion is based on the laws of justice. That each individual is just in his relationship, his or her relationship, with everybody. Primarily with their Creator. That they recognize the rights of their Creator. They recognize the Creator to be the only Creator, the only God, the only one, the only being worthy of worship. And anyone who commits shirk in the slightest sense, anyone who is guilty of not fulfilling all the laws of Tawheed, is guilty of dhulm, is guilty of great injustice. Wherever justice suffers, wherever people are not just, in every way, then the harmony, the laws that depend on that justice, all disappear. And confusion, anarchy ensue. Similarly in religion, if people do not administer justice as Allah has instructed us to do, then what will follow is the same confusion and anarchy. Now, justice is a very wide, very varied, and far-reaching concept. But still, many of us make the mistake of restricting justice to just one or two things. We all think that justice is to do with the legal system and only the courts. And that all the verses of the Quran and the Ahadith about judging people justly and treating people fairly, these laws and verses only apply to judges, the courts, systems of law, and only to people who are acting as arbitrators in disputes. Otherwise, adl, the Arabic word for justice, and qist, another word for justice, justice in the Quran and the Ahadith is only restricted to these few realms: legal system, courts, cases of arbitration, and people in prominent positions. That they should treat people fairly and judge between them justly. But we as individuals, it doesn't mean anything. Far from it. Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have told us to be just, and that means in everything. We are to be just when deciding between people. We are to be just in our treatment of people. We are to be just even in our perception of people, what view we formulate of them, what opinion we hold about them. Not only how we treat them physically or in monetary terms, but also what thoughts we entertain about them and what feelings we harbor in our hearts regarding them. We are to be just in those feelings, in those emotions, in those personal or private judgments, and in these opinions also that we may even keep only to ourselves and not mention to anybody else. Justice means being just in everything, even justice in one's own family. In hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum masoolun an ra'iyatih." Every one of us, every one of you is a shepherd. And each of you will be questioned about his flock. Every one of you is responsible. And every one of you will be questioned about whom he is responsible. So, true, the leader will be questioned about his subjects. And the father of the family will be questioned about his family. And as long as he remains fair and just in the treatment of his family, and he also fulfills the laws and obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has imposed upon him regarding the education, the teaching, the upbringing, the spiritual and religious and moral discipline that he must impose in the family. As long as he has fulfilled these duties, then the rest he will not be questioned for. So wherever a person is responsible, Allah has made it obligatory on him to be just. So much so that in one hadith related by Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayh, from Sayyidina Nu'man ibn Bashir radiyallahu ta'ala, he says, my father wanted to give me a gift. So he informed my mother and said, I would like to give our son a gift. So the mother suggested that this is a very valuable gift, and it's a great share of your wealth. So why don't you go and make the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a witness to this offering? So the father took the son, the father Bashir took his son Nu'man ibn Bashir radiyallahu anhuma to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he presented his case to him. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him that, do you have other children also? So Bashir radiyallahu anhu said yes. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, have you given, or are you going to give the rest of the children the same gift as you are offering to this son of yours? He said, no. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go away then, for I shall not be a witness to injustice. If you give all of your children the same gift, then it's okay. If you discriminate, then go away. Do not make me a witness, for I shall not be a witness to injustice. And in another narration of the same hadith, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually said to him that, don't you expect all of your children to be equal in their love, affection and treatment of yourself and in their loyalty to you? He said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, well, they all have an equal right to be treated fairly by you and equally. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to be just in every way. And this isn't just about distribution. It's not just about giving fairly and treating fairly. What I wish to concentrate on today is mainly how we judge one another in mind, and what we feel about one another in heart. And it's wrong to think that to think of people unfairly and unjustly, and to feel or harbor feelings about people unfairly and unjustly, is not harmful to one's religion, and it doesn't constitute dhulm, it doesn't constitute injustice. It does. And just as Allah has instructed us to be fair and just, Allah has told the leaders to be just, Allah has told the qadi, the qudat, the judges to be just. Similarly, Allah has told us as family members to be just in our treatment of family, of children. Along with all of these obligations of justice, we have also been instructed to think justly, to judge fairly, even if it may not involve distribution of wealth or punishment or any physical reality, even if it's just a thought in the mind and a feeling in the heart. How we feel and what we think about people, that must also be regulated by the just laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise there will be anarchy, there will be confusion, there will be emotional confusion, there will be religious anarchy, and a person will still be held responsible and sinful. Justice isn't just a beautiful thing. It's not just a luxury that, oh, if we do it good, we will get a good reward. But if we aren't just in our thoughts and in our feelings, then there's no harm. No. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa salam has warned us in many ahadith. He's also given us glad tidings in one very beautiful hadith related by Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi from Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiyallahu anhu. He says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ عَلَى مَنَابِرَ مِنْ نُورٍ. He says, on the day of reckoning, those who are just, they will be upon pulpits of light, of nur. On the right hand side of Allah, of Rahman, and both the hands of Rahman are right. I'm only translating the hadith. Which people? Those who are just. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ends the hadith by saying, الَّذِينَ يَعْدِلُونَ فِي حُكْمِهِمْ وَأَهْلِيهِمْ وَمَا وَلَوْ. That those who are just in their judgment, those who are just to their families, in their families, and those who are just for any responsibility that they may assume. Those who are just in this way, Allahu Akbar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will make them sit upon pulpits of light on Yawm al-Qiyamah. But to fail, so it's not just a luxury for which Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has promised a good reward. Anyone who is unjust, he shall suffer greatly. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, there are many hadith which speak of how Allah will take such people to task. Mu'minin Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha relates in a hadith recorded by Imam Tirmidhi in his Sunan and also by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Musnad, that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, I have servants, slaves, who lie to me, who betray me, who are dishonest to me, and who verbally abuse me. So, in turn, I punish them, and I also verbally abuse them. So where do I stand with them? What is my connection and relationship with them? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of reckoning, their abuse, their disobedience, their betrayal and their lies shall all be measured. And your punishment and your abuse in turn will also be measured. If their abuse, their dishonesty, their betrayal, their lying and their disobedience all exceed your punishment, then you will be in the clear and you will have a right over them. But if your punishment exceeds their crimes, then they will have a right over you. So the man, Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiyallahu anha says that the man, he retreated to one corner and he began weeping and wailing, actually screaming and wailing for the fear of this reckoning. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, have you not read the verse of the Qur'an? وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. Have you not read the words of Allah in which He says that on the day of reckoning we shall establish the scales of justice and then no soul shall suffer any injustice in the least. And even if it be something to the measure of a mustard seed, we shall produce it. And Allah says, we are sufficient as accountants, or we are sufficient as those who will reckon. So the man said, Ya Rasulullah, how can I live with them? For me, the best choice is to part with their company, and I make you a witness that I have freed all of them. So this is what shall happen with everybody. Our treatment of one another. Everything will be measured on the day of reckoning. Now we often see people around us committing acts of injustice, or speaking unfairly and unjustly. Remember, I wish to concentrate not on injustice in physical relations, such as someone hitting another, etc., or injustice in the distribution of wealth, but just concentrate on the way we think of one another and what we feel about one another. We often hear people speaking unfairly about others. Sometimes out of shyness we remain silent. Sometimes we actually join in and assist. On other occasions, we remain silent, but ultimately it's connivance because we try to act pious, and in our sanctimony, we feel that, oh, I'm not saying anything, and therefore I'm in the clear. But deep down, because we ourselves harbor ill feeling towards this particular person, we are envious and jealous of them. We wish somebody else to do the dirty work and do the dirty talking, but we also relish it. And we don't want to do anything in order to help the other. So, but we still feel sanctimonious and holy that, oh, I'm not saying anything, therefore I'm innocent. No. In a hadith related by Imam Tabarani, rahmatullahi alayhi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "But whoever walks with a zalim, with someone who is committing injustice, in order to assist him, knowing that he is unjust, فَقَدْ خَرَجَ عَنِ الْإِسْلَامِ, then he has left Islam." Whoever walks with a zalim, someone committing injustice, so that he may assist him, knowing that he is a zalim, knowing that he is behaving unjustly, then he himself has left Islam. So, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam has warned us. And it's our duty not only to avoid any form of injustice ourselves, but also to prevent injustice and unfairness in any form, in any capacity, and wherever it may be. In a hadith related by Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, recorded by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, also by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Musnad, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam says, "Unsur akhaka zaliman aw mazluma," that assist your brother, even though he may be the oppressor or the oppressed. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, we can understand assisting the oppressed person, but how do we assist the oppressor? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you prevent him from committing injustice, and in that way you will assist him. It's our duty. But unfortunately, like I said earlier, sometimes we want others to do the dirty work, and therefore let them say what they want about someone. We don't wish to intervene or defend the other Muslim. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam was instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be just and fair even when dealing with his enemies. And Allah has instructed the believers to do the same also. The Jews in Medina, they were bent on harming the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the cause of Islam. And when they used to come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to come very insincerely. Like in Surah An-Nisa, sorry, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs believers about how the Jews would come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to make him an arbitrator and to request him to judge between them. But their motives were very evil, because, as Allah quotes in the Quran, they would come and they would say, let's go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask him to decide. Quite simply, a Jewish man and a Jewess, a Jew and a Jewess, had committed adultery. And this was after the Prophet ﷺ had arrived in Medina. And they had received the Prophet ﷺ and ultimately, reluctantly, they had accepted him to be the de facto political leader, military leader of Medina, and not only that, but also the one in charge of justice. So they then decided that any of our disputes, we would go to Muhammad, the son of Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When this incident happened and a couple committed adultery, they knew what the punishment was. Ultimately the punishment was death. But they were reluctant to implement that punishment because for a long time they had abandoned it and they had mitigated the punishment, they had lightened it. And in violation of Allah's law, they would merely rebuke and publicly disgrace the guilty people, but they wouldn't implement the full punishment. So now, again, they were in a dilemma. Should we, and the rabbis knew this, that if we don't punish them as God's law says, then we will be sinful ourselves. But then again, how can we punish a fellow Jew? And this is a fact. To the Yahud, a Yahudi is more important to them than even Allah himself. So they said that we don't want to be sinful for not implementing God's law, but at the same time we don't want to punish our fellow Yahud. So they said, why don't we do this? And look at the thinking. They said, let's go to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we tell him that these two people are guilty of this crime, and you tell us what should we do, what should be the punishment. Now if he tells us exactly what's in our own scripture, which is that they should be punished by death, then we just won't listen to him, or we'll come back and we'll have to decide something else. But if he says that, okay, you don't have to punish them by death, but you can merely flog them or publicly disgrace them, then we will get what we want at his expense, for he will be sinful. They still believed in Allah and in the reckoning and in God's law, and they claim that, oh, if he gives the answer, he will be responsible. So they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed the verses of the Quran. As part of those verses, Allah says, سَمَّعُونَ لِلْكَذِبِ أَكَّالُونَ لِلْسُحْتِ فَإِنْ جَاءُكَ فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ. That, O Prophet of Allah, these people, the Yahud, they are excessive listeners and a party to lies. They are excessive consumers of haram. And if they come to you, فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ أَوْ أَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ وَإِنْ تُعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ فَلَنْ يَذُرُّوكَ شَيْئًا وَإِنْ حَكَمْتَ فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْقِسْطِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Allah says, if they come to you, then you can judge between them, or you can turn away from them. And if you turn away from them and refuse to participate, then they cannot harm you in the least. But if you do judge between them, O Prophet of Allah, then judge justly, for Allah loves those who are just. So the Yahud, despite what they did, Allah Azza wa Jalla told His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if they request you to administer justice, then be fair. They may be the Yahud and they may be the enemy. And even with the mushrikeen, in the sixth year of Hijrah, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam travelled to Mecca with the intention of performing Umrah, for the first time he left Medina, travelling towards Mecca with the intention of entering the city. For the first time in 6 years, he would have seen his beloved birthplace and the house of Allah. And he travelled with approximately 1400 Sahaba radiallahu anhum, not with any belligerent intention, and not in a provocative way, but clad in the pieces of ihram, having taken their animals with them in order to slaughter them in the haram, and making a public display of their peace, peaceful intention, and of their innocence, they travelled to Mecca with the sole intention of performing Umrah and worshipping Allah. When they arrived at Hudaybiyah, at a slight distance from Mecca, Prophet ﷺ camped there and sent men forth to Mecca to request the Quraysh to allow them into the city and to make clear that they had come peacefully. The Quraysh refused. And they refused to allow the Prophet of Allah and the companions, many of them who were Meccans and members of their own family and their extended families and tribe, to enter the city. Now this was unheard of, it was unprecedented. Why? Before the coming of Islam, when Mecca was always the center of worship, and when the Mushrikeen tribes would come to perform their Hajj or their Umrah and perform their rites around the Kaaba, the Quraysh, whatever their political or personal differences with any tribe or any group of people from out of Mecca, when it came to the worship of Allah, when it came to Tawaf, when it came to the sacred masjid and the house of Allah, they would put their differences aside and they would never prevent anybody from coming to the city. There was no restriction at all. All were allowed to enter, even if they opposed them. But for the first time, in their bitterness and enmity towards the Prophet ﷺ, they refused him entry and the Sahaba. And the Sahaba knew this, and this is what enraged them even more. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, in their indignance and wanting to retaliate and do something, what happened is that as they were camped in Hudaybiyah, some mushrikeen, non-believers, from an Arab tribe were making their way to Mecca and they passed by the Muslims in Hudaybiyah. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum declared their intention to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, saying, Ya Rasulullah, their polytheist brethren in Mecca have prevented us from entering the holy city. So why don't we in turn prevent them from reaching the city? Their brothers are the ones who stopped us and prevented us from performing our rites. And why should they be allowed to do so? They are the enemy. So why don't we stop them? Allah has revealed verses of the Quran in Surah Al-Ma'idah. And in the very first verse, sorry, in the second verse of Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah says, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ أَنْ صَدُّوكُمْ عَنِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ أَنْ تَعْتَدُوا وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Allah, addressing the companion, says, do not let your enmity and hatred of a people, because they have prevented you from al-Masjid al-Haram, the house of Allah, meaning your anger is just, and your bitterness is understandable, and your resentment and hatred of these people, of the enemy, is valid. But still, do not let your hatred of a people, because they have prevented you from al-Masjid al-Haram, the house of Allah, do not let this hatred incite you to committing injustice and transgressing the bounds with regard to the other people. Assist one another in righteousness and in taqwa, and do not assist one another in sin and in transgression. And fear Allah, indeed Allah is severe in His punishment. So even when it came to the disbelievers, the mushrikeen or the yahood, Allah instructed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to be just in their view of them, in their treatment, in their relationship. So imagine what level of obligation must exist in Islam for a Muslim to be fair and just towards his fellow Muslim, especially with regards to how a person views another. Now, in this day and age, especially when we fall out with one another, we have our disputes and our disagreements. In our disagreements, we transgress the bounds ourselves. It's natural to disagree. But how a person behaves and responds to that disagreement is what marks his character. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in a very famous hadith, which I've commented on in detail before, that there are four things that you found in a person. Arba'un man kunna fi, this hadith related by Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and virtually all the authors, from Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu. He says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أربع من كنا فيه كان منافقا خالصا ومن كان فيه خصلة منهن كان فيه خصلة من النفاق حتى يدعها إذا حدث كذب وإذا أؤتمن خان وإذا عاهد غدر وإذا خاصم فجر. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, there are four traits which you found in a person. He is a pure hypocrite, And if one of them is to be found in him, then he has a characteristic of hypocrisy in him until he abandons it. When he speaks, he lies. When he is entrusted with an amanah, a trust, he proves to be dishonest. When he makes a promise, he breaks that promise. These are the first three. And the final one, وَإِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَرَ, when he disagrees with somebody, then he sins openly. I.e., in his disagreement, he doesn't remain within limited and reasonable bounds. Rather, he transgresses all bounds in his opposition and in his disagreement. And this is what a lot of us tend to do. If we are envious of somebody, if we dislike someone, then our hatred knows no bounds. And we wish to seek retaliation and revenge in any way possible. And we are not willing to believe a good word or a good thing about him. And our judgment is so impaired by blind hatred and passion, by bigotry and opposition, that even if the whole world holds that person in good stead, and if the whole world speaks well of him and views him or her favorably, still, simply because of our hatred or our personal reasons, we will not judge them fairly, but we will hold them responsible for everything. And not only that, we will try to punish them physically. If not physically, then emotionally. We will try to inflict pain upon them in any way, or suffering. Or, if we can't even do that, we will ensure that we want others to hate them and dislike them as much as we do. We won't just say, look, I have a disagreement with him, and therefore, let us part company. Both of us go our own ways. Rather, we hate them with a passion, and we want everybody else to do the same. This is transgressing the bounds. So much so, that whatever we learn about them, it will never be enough to change our opinion. But we want others to hate them, we want others to dislike them. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam has described this as being a trait of hypocrisy. And not only that, we are so unfair that not only do we hold that person responsible, but anybody else that is connected to that person, we hold them responsible. Many of us, if 7 generations ago someone's 8th granddad did something to someone else's 8th granddad, till this day the families have not forgiven one another. And they still hold one another responsible. It's like saying, Funa, who is connected to you in this way, in this very distant way, he did this to Funa, who is connected to me in this very distant way, and therefore you are my enemy. And this is the way we still behave. And not only that, but those who are connected to us, those whom we love, members of the family, our parents, our children, brothers and sisters, and even members of the extended family, whom we haven't fallen out with, simply because they belong to something similar to ours, or the same thing as ours, our own family, our race, our background, our country, our village, our clan, we will defend them, even though if they are wrong. Even though they are wrong. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لا نكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها وإذا قلتم فاعدلوا ولو كان ذا قربى وبعهد الله أوفوا ذلكم وصاكم به لعلكم تذكرون. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-An'am that we will not burden a soul with more than it can bear. When you speak, then speak justly, even though it may be related to your own relatives. So if your own relatives have done something wrong, admit to it, accept the fact. And simply because you don't like the other person, you cannot defend the indefensible. وَبِأَحْدِ اللَّهِ أَوْفُوا, Allah says, and fulfill the covenant of Allah. Allah instructs you and advises you to do this in the hope that you will learn, you will understand. And in another verse of Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوِ الْوَالِدَيْنَ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ إن يكن غنيا وفقيرا فالله أولى بهما ولا تتبعوا الهوى أن تعدلوا وإن تلووا أو تعرضوا فإن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا. Allah Azza wa Jal says, O believers, be establishers of justice, Be upright for the sake of Allah. Be bearers of testimony, even though this testimony may be against yourselves, or against your parents, or against your closest relatives. Do not be unjust, meaning do not defend someone unfairly against another, even the one you are defending, is rich and you do so out of love for his wealth, or is poor and you do so out of compassion and sympathy for his poverty. Why? فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهِمَا Allah knows that Allah is more closer to the two than you could ever be. وَإِن تَلْوُوا أَوْ تُعْرِضُوا And if you distort your testimony in favor of your close relatives, or against someone you dislike, or أَوْ تُعْرِضُوا Or you back away, you refuse to testify. What does this verse mean? Simply that sometimes two people are arguing or two parties are in dispute. And someone approaches a third person and says to them, will you please intervene? Will you please arbitrate? Or will you please tell me this person has done this? You used to tell me, is it correct or incorrect? Now we know that if I get involved, I will have to testify against my own. If I speak the truth, it's going to hurt someone I love. So what we try to do is extricate ourselves by saying, oh, you know, I'm just a very quiet person. I like to keep myself to myself. I don't want to get involved. We won't say openly, look, I'm not going to testify against him. I won't get involved. Allah says, if you distort the evidence, the testimony, or if you turn away, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا You may be able to deceive others, but Allah is well aware of what you are doing. So Allah says, be bearers of testimony, even though this testimony may be against yourselves. And if the other, you dislike him for any reason, still be fair. Allah says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ Allah says, O believers, stand upright for the sake of Allah. And be bearers of testimony and witnesses unto justice. And do not let your hatred or your dislike of a people lead you to committing injustice in any way. Be just. This is closer to taqwa. And fear Allah. Allah is well aware of what you are doing. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were instructed by Allah to be just even in their treatment of their enemy. And they fulfill the obligation of these verses. We can't even do the same for our fellow Muslims. So much so that it's been narrated that Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu, a companion, he was sent by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Khaybar, which was inhabited by Jews. The Jews of Khaybar, when Khaybar was conquered by the Muslims, they agreed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to remain on the land and to submit to the authority of Islam, and they agreed to pay half of their produce annually to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims of Medina. Well, to the Muslims. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiyallahu anhu to collect the tax, the due, whatever it was, the kharaj, etc., from Khaybar, from the Jews. So Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiyallahu anhu went to measure and to calculate how much was to be paid. So the Jews, quite naturally, offered him a bribe so that he may fiddle with the measurements, with the calculations, and they said that, you know, we will give you this much on the side if you can reduce the amount that we have to pay. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu said, listen, I have come from someone who is the most beloved to me in the whole creation of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To you, and you are the most detestable people to me in the whole creation of Allah. These are the words of the hadith. He said, you are more despicable in my sight than apes and swine. But listen, my love for the Prophet of Allah and my hatred for you, neither will incite me to committing injustice with you. I will still be fair. So there's no need to give me a bribe. I will be fair. Whatever is due, I will not claim a penny more. The last part is obvious to my explanation, but the words ended with this, that my hatred for you, my love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my hatred for you, will not lead me to committing injustice. This is the way, exactly as Allah says, O believers, let not your hatred lead you to committing injustice. Be just, be fair, and fear Allah. This is close taqwa and fear Allah. Allah is well aware of what you are doing. Now we, unfortunately, as I said earlier, we hold everyone responsible whom we dislike. And if we take a dislike to someone, if we envy someone, we fall out with someone, then we transgress the bounds. We go beyond the bounds in our opposition, in our desire for revenge. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that even in our thoughts and in our perception of people, we must be just. This means that, you see, we can't be judgmental, we shouldn't be judgmental. But we all have to judge, we all have to form an opinion. We all, naturally, our minds create an impression about someone. Even if one Muslim meets another stranger, another Muslim, for 5 minutes, speaks to them, both will go away from that meeting. It may be just a casual, spontaneous, informal meeting, barely for a few minutes. But each will go away with a thought, an impression, and a view and perception about the other. And even in that, Allah has instructed us to be just. Judge people fairly. Think of them favorably. That is the instruction of the Quran and the Ahadith. Fortunately, we base our impressions on people simply on our tastes, on our likes and dislikes, whether we incline to that person or not. If we like them for some bigoted or wrong reason, then we are not willing to listen to anything negative about them. And if we take a dislike to someone for whatever reason, no matter how wrong it may be, we are not willing to listen to any good about that person. And we think it doesn't matter, as long as we don't do anything wrong or we're not unfair in our treatment, in our distribution, it doesn't matter now. Allah has instructed us to be fair even in our thoughts and our perceptions, in our view of one another. And one of the worst things that happens is what I said earlier. If we have a dispute with one person, then we punish everybody else. We hold others responsible. And that is extremely unfair. It's haram. If the son commits a crime, we hold the father, the mother, the whole family responsible. We hold the brother, the sister, meaning everybody responsible, even though they have no control. If someone commits an act of injustice, then we hold others responsible, and that person. Again, this is haram. The only time when one is responsible for another's actions is when that person approves of that action, or when a person was guilty of incitement, of encouragement, of connivance, or of instruction, and that person is guilty of the same crime. Otherwise, one cannot hold another person responsible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah does not burden the soul with more than it can bear. For it is what it has earned, and against the soul is what it has earned against itself, but nobody else. In another verse, Allah says, كل نفس بما كسبت رهينة. On the day of reckoning, each soul shall be prevented from moving forth, will be held to account by Allah for what it has done. Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah again, تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. These are a people who have passed away. For them are their deeds, what they have earned, and for you is what you have earned, and you shall not be questioned about them. Equally, others will not be questioned about you. You will not be questioned about others. But unfortunately, these days, in our dislike for someone, we hold everybody who is connected to that person responsible. And some of us think, oh, it's okay, it's a small thing. It's a major sin. It's a major act of injustice. It's a zulm. Allah has not held another soul responsible for what somebody else does. Why should we? Just because someone is connected to another, that is their only crime? As I was saying, Allah has told us to be just. That means every Muslim is innocent until proven guilty. In everything. In their chastity, in their behavior, in anything that they have been accused of, in their aqeedah, in their faith. I say aqeedah because there are people who've actually said this, and not only do they say this, this is what they preach, this is what they believe and practice with a passion. That it's not permissible to give salam to anyone until you have verified their aqeedah. It's not permissible to give salam to anyone until you have verified their aqeedah. So for such people, every Muslim is guilty until proven innocent, even in their faith. Similarly, no matter what a person's been accused of, they are innocent until proven guilty. Just because we heard something, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, someone says, oh, that person, he's like this. We are judgmental. He's a fasiq, he's a fajir, he's sinful, he's good, he's bad. How do you know? Oh, he did this. And how do you know? My wife heard it from her friend, from her husband, who was at the barber's shop, who heard it from another chap at the barber's shop, who heard it from his nephew. And on the basis of this one lie, it's not even evidence, a lie, we judge a person and we view them in a particular way. Then, maybe we just dislike the person, maybe hate the way he looks, maybe he's got a better car than us, maybe he's more privileged than us in some way, we envy us, and therefore we are willing to cling on to this one thing. 100 people may tell us otherwise, but no, our passion, our bigotry, our hatred for that person, our dislike, our envy, all of these things will not allow us to view the person in a good way. And we think, oh, as long as I don't say anything or don't do anything, it's not haram. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. A zulm, what a great zulm is this. Another thing that I was saying is we hold others responsible for something they haven't done. Allah says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, وَمَنْ يَكْسِبْ إِثْمًا فَإِنَّمَا يَكْسِبُهُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ. Whoever commits a sin, he commits a sin to his own account against himself. How can we hold other people responsible? These days, the son commits a crime, we hold a grandfather who's lying in his grave responsible, and we hold 7 future generations responsible. I say this, it may sound rather personal, but people have done the same with myself. If for some reason they are unable to get to me because of me, they have tried through other means. So people have rang me, people have confronted me in the masjid, not in a bad way, but still, they've come and complained and said, we wish to complain to you. I said, what? I said, Funa, they say, Funa, one person or a group of individuals, this is what they said to me. And I was offended by what they said, some personal thing. So I said, I don't even know who you're talking about. Are they your students? What makes them my students? They're your students. They come to your talks, they listen to you, or whatever. I have no students. I am a student myself. I have no students. And people who try to hold me responsible for the sin or for the crime or for the ill act or ill speech of another, let me make this declaration. I have no students, I am a student myself. Every man for himself. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما كسبت. Allah does not burden the soul with more than it can bear. For it is what it has earned, and against it, it is what it has incurred. Allah says in Surah Al-Najm, أَمْ لَمْ يُنَبَّأْ بِمَا فِي صُحْفِ مُوسَى وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ الَّذِي وَفَّى أَلَّا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى وَأَنْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى ثُمَّ يُجْزَاهُ الْجَزَاءَ الْأَوْفَى وَأَنَّ إِلَى رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَى. Allah says, has he not been informed with what is contained in the scriptures of Musa?
and in the scriptures of Ibrahim, who was faithful, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. What was contained in their scriptures? The message of the Qur'an, the message of the Torah, the message of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the message and the law in all religions, what was contained in their scriptures? Allah taziru wa ziratun wizra ukhra, that no soul shall bear the burden of another soul. Wa an laysa lil insani illa ma sa'a, and that no man, there is nothing for man except what he has earned himself, and soon his effort shall be observed by Allah. Then he shall be paid in full for whatever he has done, good or bad. And to your Lord is everyone's return. I cannot be held responsible for what anybody has done. Too many times I have found myself in a situation where an apology is being demanded of me for something I know nothing of. An explanation is being demanded of me on behalf of people whom, wallahi al-azim, I have never seen in my entire life. Too often, I am held responsible, in public and in private, for something I have not done. Too many times I have found myself saying to someone, listen, brother, if I have said something to you, or if I have done something to you, then seek your justice of me, and I will, inshallah, repay you. Otherwise, don't hold me responsible. And on one occasion I said, why don't you speak to their parents? Why don't you speak to their family? What's it to do with me? Is this what I teach? If I teach this, agreed, I am responsible. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his message was simple. Allah says, addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in Surah Yunus, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قَدْ جَاءَكُمُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ اِهْتَدَى فَإِنَّمَا يَهْتَدِي لِنَفْسِهِ فَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَضِلُّ عَلَيْهَا وَمَا أَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ بِوَكِيلٍ. Allah addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say, O Prophet of Allah, O mankind, the truth has come to you from your Lord. Whoever finds guidance, then he finds guidance for the benefit of his own soul. And whoever errs and deviates from the path, then he does so to the detriment of his own soul. وَمَا أَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ بِوَكِيلٍ. And I am not responsible for you, and I am not a guardian over you. And on so many occasions I've had to say, people have tried to dig at me by saying, oh, your students have done this. I say, listen, I have no students, I am a student myself. If you want to make people my students will be those who listen to me, not those who disobey. And I don't have anything to say myself. What I say is ultimately, inshallah, if for what I preach from with the verses of the Qur'an and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why do you wish to make me responsible? Why don't you look at it the other way? Rather than saying your students, why don't you say these ummatis of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this? Or my fellow Muslims did this? Would you say that Islam is responsible for the action of the Muslims? Would you say the Qur'an and the Sunnah both are responsible for the actions of the Muslims? Ma'ad Allah, ma'ad Allah. And I shudder saying this. Can any one of us hold the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responsible for what you and I do in the name of Islam and in his name? Never. Each man for himself. Allah tazir wa ziratun wizra ukhra wa an laysa lil insani illa ma sa'a. No soul shall bear the burden of another soul. And there is nothing for man except what he has earned himself. So many verses of the Qur'an, all of which testify to this. If someone dislikes another, if someone is envious of another, if someone hates another, let not that hatred lead them to committing injustice. Even in our perceptions, our judgments of one another, we should be fair. And the truth is, we cannot be judgmental. Only Allah knows. We have been instructed to entertain a favorable and honest opinion about every Muslim. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu relates in a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed tawaf around the Kaaba and said, looking at the Kaaba, O Kaaba, how beautiful you are and how beautiful is your fragrance. O Kaaba, how great you are and how great is your sanctity. But by Allah, in whose hands rests the soul of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, The sanctity of a believer is greater in the sight of Allah than even the Kaaba.
This lecture was given by Sheikh Abu Yusuf Riyadul Haq and has been presented to you by the Islamic Sharia Institute. For further information, additional lectures and books, contact us on 0121-773-5191 or alternatively by post at the Islamic Sharia Institute, P.O. Box 6008, Birmingham, B10-0UW, United Kingdom, or visit our website www.sharia-institute.org. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.